It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I hope you had a great Wednesday. Damn it, I'm only going to be here for one more hour. If you just tuning in, where the hell you been? Been here for the past three. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Much love to everybody tuning in all over North America, coast to coast, country to country, sea to shining sea. The mountains, the valleys, the hills, the plains, the beaches. Hickey, did I nail everything? Like, from sea to sun, that's how it goes, right? Sea to sun is she. right?
That exactly right.
Come
That's
on.
How we learned when we were in second grade.
Yeah, second grade. Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Here, Hickey, stop the music. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, one nation. It's been a long time, Hickey. I failed.
You're so close.
I was. Indivisible, right? Now how it goes.
That's always the one that trips me up every time. I would, without a doubt, say invisible every single time.
Indivisible.
With one liberty country. And justice for all. You were one line away.
With liberty and... You know, I'm used to just going amen at the end. That's why. I'm just going, here, I'm at the end. Just say amen and just give me the dinner, you know? But I'm mixing up the prayer before food and the Pledge of Allegiance. You know the last time I did the Pledge of Allegiance, Hickey? You want to know the last time?
When?
I don't know. 1996, right?
Was that what, high school or elementary school?
Ah, man, what is that? Elementary school, probably, I think. I don't even think we did it when I was older, like in fifth grade. I don't even think we did it then.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Did you do the Pledge of Allegiance all the way through school?
I'm pretty sure I did it through high school.
High school?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Pledge of Allegiance in high school.
We didn't do no Pledge of Allegiance. I don't remember any. I don't remember a few things in high school. I don't remember any of that. Pledge of Allegiance? I don't remember that. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time, man. Shout outs to everybody who fully knows the Pledge of Allegiance. Now I'm going to get people telling me I'm less American. Listen, folks. I live here and pay taxes like everybody else. I do a lot of things for the country. And doing a Pledge of Allegiance every day is not one of them. It's been a while. Anyway, JR Sport Brief Show is going to be here with you for one more hour. We've had a busy day. Obviously, getting you all set and ready for the NFL draft tomorrow. Knock yourselves out. We got coverage here, by the way, on the Infinity Sports Network. Tomorrow for the entire first round, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. We got all the picks. You'll hear them live. We got all the analysis. You hear that between myself and Bart Winkler. Hickey's going to be... Hickey, what do we all do? Are you hanging out too? Like, you do whatever, right?
I'm pushing on the buttons tomorrow.
Oh, no, you're not just pushing buttons. You're part of the show too.
Be part of the show for all 6 hours. Me and you, marathon men.
You're damn right. We do what we want here on the Infinity Sports Network. We got you covered. We're going to have a fun time. And Shep is here too, right?
Shep will be following the show. He will have our instant reaction, instant analysis, post-NFL draft show.
The hell does that mean, following it? What does that mean, following the show? Oh, he's coming on after us.
Yes. Once midnight ends, you and Bart's responsibilities are done.
Ah, okay.
Boom. Like, then you go. We go back into show mode, if you will.
Okay.
Shep will be back in show mode right as we wrap up the draft, which should be at midnight Eastern. Usually the NFL is always pretty good at being on time and ending on time, so we'll see.
Why the hell do we got 10? Is it 10 minutes between each selection?
10 minutes, yes.
Oh, my God.
And
to
the
do
clock
what?
Won't even start at 8 o'clock.
To make trades and just, like, waste time? Like, what are we doing?
How long do you think the Bears are going to go before they put the pick in?
Oh, they're gonna make everybody wait, right? Now what they're going to do?
I was going to say at least 8 minutes. They're going to sit there. Big conversation have. Who are we going to take?
Poles was talking. What, he talked to the media yesterday? The GM, Ryan Poles, spoke to the media yesterday. And he basically said, we know who we're going to select. Everybody just has to wait until tomorrow. I mean, well, damn.
So as soon as the clock starts, put the card in and let's go. Well, what are we wasting time for?
All right. Well, I'll make sure to do a lot of talking with Bart while we wait the waste of 10 minutes. We got you covered. So don't go anywhere. And we've had a busy show tonight as well. Obviously, we've given you a top six list. It's what we do every single Wednesday. Tonight, we focused in on some of the worst quarterback draft busts that the NFL has ever seen. Okay, at number one on the list, some guy named Jamarcus Russell. He was just there for the money. I mean, he's like a lot of people who show up to work. Why the hell are you going to work? Because you love it? Eh, probably not. You are probably showing up to work just because you want the money. Jamarcus Russell treated quarterback for the Raiders like this was a job at, I don't know, Dollar Tree? And no disrespect to anybody at Dollar Tree. None at all. But he treated this like a job at Wendy's. No disrespect to my people at Wendy's. He treated this like a job at I don't know, Pfizer. No disrespect to any of them drug pushes at Pfizer. But this is how he treated it. You sit down in the job interview. Hey, so why do you want the job? And in the back of your head, you're saying, why the hell do you think I want the job? I want the job because I want the money. But you can't say that. Hey, why do you want the job? You got to sit there and lie because I think I'd be a great addition to the organization. Nah, just say, I want the money and I think I can get it here. Let me show up and do my damn thing. But Jamarcus Russell, he didn't give a damn about being a quarterback in the NFL. He got his $31 million guaranteed. And Jamarcus Russell went on with his damn life. Is that going to be Caleb Williams? I don't think so. I don't. Is it going to be Jaden Daniels? I don't think so. I feel like younger people, they want to work for what they got, right? Isn't that what they want? Younger people don't want things for free. They're not entitled brats. They want to work for things. That's what I've heard, right? Anyway, so humor myself and you. Let's once again listen to Jamarcus Russell on the pivot. Remind everybody that he ain't no bust.
Do you consider yourself the biggest bust in NFL draft history?
When you look at it that way, I say I must have been the best to be the biggest,
right?
I'll say my didn't turn out how I wanted it to or not how they expected it to, you know, but if you're going to call me a bust, like you say, put the biggest on it.
I love it.
You're gonna say it, put the biggest on that. But that shit don't bother me, man. Like that shit is not in my world. That bush don't have it, don't apply in my shit. It don't apply in none of my family. It don't apply in none that we have going on. So man, they can bust all they want.
Come on, man. It's 2024. Everybody got a podcast. Where's the biggest bust podcast by Jamarcus Russell? Where is it? I need it. I wouldn't tune in. I just would pay attention to the clips. Hickey, do you listen? And we still got to get that segment together. Is there an athlete podcast that you listen to?
No. No. Yeah, I don't listen to one athlete podcast at all. Outside of the clips, like you said, that's you I see do. On social media, we talk about on the show.
I don't either. I don't. It's not like, hey, it's 11 in the morning. I need to listen to something while I chop up some lunch or something. Let me turn on Draymond Green. I'm like, no. I don't need to hear Draymond. I don't need to hear Trey Young. I don't need to hear and no disrespect to any of these people. But I don't want to listen to The Pivot. I don't want to hear who else got a podcast?
Marshall, I Am Athlete.
Yeah, Paul George has a podcast and
oh, that's right.
Johnny Manziel, I can't sit down and listen to Shannon Sharp. No, thank you. No disrespect.
Ocho
just,
Cinco.
Yes, they got a late night thing as well now. Come on. And you know what? Maybe it's different. We talk about this, right? And I ain't going to confuse myself with Shannon Sharp in regards to celebrity. I'm not stupid. But after I talk about sports, my damn self, the last thing I want to do is going to I need to listen to 8 hours of Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco. I'm like, no, thank you. I just want to watch the games and sit down and have a beer and take out my trash and mind my business like everybody else. I mean, we got people in getting podcasts while they get their haircuts, right? So you just heard from Jamarcus Russell. probably the biggest draft steal in NFL history is that guy named Tom Brady. And listening to Jamarcus Russell tell everybody, if I'm going to be the bust, call me the biggest bust. I want you to listen to Tom Brady. Because on this podcast that he sat down and did while he got his damn hair cut, Tom Brady pretty much told everybody what he doesn't like about young athletes. What Tom Brady doesn't appreciate about younger guys coming into the NFL. This is from the Deep Cut podcast, and it's a clip. Listen to it.
I think the biggest problem with a lot of kids these days, it's all about them. It's all about them, their brand, their social media. And then when it's about me and then not about us, well, there's no way to succeed as a team if all you're doing is thinking about how selfish it is for you to get attention.
It's cool to show the world how great you are, but the most inspiring thing is how great you can make others.
That's the point of life, is what we could do. How do you help other people finish the race, not just you?
Uh-huh. Well, how about that? And that's the story of life. That's right, Tom. That's how I view my life. You know, it's like, what can you do for somebody else? Because in a lot of cases, at some point in life, it's going to suck. Okay? What the hell are you doing to help somebody else? When you got the time and the opportunity to make somebody else's life a little bit easier, why not do it? Is it skin off your back that damn much? And Tom Brady is right. And I can't speak for playing in the NFL, but I can certainly speak for being a human being. Like, we got too many people running around thinking the world revolves around them. Me, 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 me. And I get it. Talk about a brand. I get it. I just put up this video promoting the NFL draft show tomorrow. Hickey, it's weird. I'm not an old man, not by any stretch. Like, people message me all the time. Hey, man, you're a legend. You're a legend. I'm like, man, don't legends got to be old? Am I a legend, Hickey? Like, internet? Not really, right? Am I?
In the sense of legends being old, then you can't be a legend. You're too young.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the cosign. It's like, oh, I've been doing this since 2009. And like early internet videos, so I'm a legend. I'll take that. I'll take that. But damn, legend? But it's true. If I got to think about when I started in 2009, Hickey, when I put myself on the internet, people were looking at me like I was from outer space. You're really going to put these videos about sports on the internet? You're really going to talk about this? Are you okay? I would record myself outside. People looked at me like they needed to call the police. I'm like, it's just a camera, people. I'm just talking about, I don't know, Gary Sheffield. Like, give me a break. It's not the worst thing in the world. I can't go outside without hitting somebody in my car who's trying to record themselves on their phone or taking photos or setting up lights. Everybody is all recording themselves. And I'm just like, whatever happened to the part about just living life? Everybody's thinking about me, 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 about other people. Tom Brady's right. I wish he'd shut up about the whole return talk, but yeah, Tom Brady is right in that regard. Thank you, Tom Brady. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Dave is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Dave, how are you? You're on the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. America can't wait to hear you. What's up?
You and Hickey are awesome. You guys have the best personalities on radio, first off. But I got to tell you something. You forgot one guy, Tony Marinovich. He was built to be this superstar, this ultimate robo-athlete that fizzled very quickly. And just being a Redskins fan, I think you need to take off Heath Schuler.
Oh, no. Well, hold on. Is it possible that Todd was a bust? Isn't that what typically happens?
Oh, Todd, sorry. I said Tony.
No, it's okay. Isn't this how it goes? Like, your parents push you into being this person, and then all of a sudden you're rebellious and the opposite happens? Like, his dad was trying to make him super athlete. And the next thing you know, this guy is just on every drug imaginable, you know?
Yeah, I'm just saying, everybody thought, listen, I brainwash my kids to be football team fans all the time. I have all the stuff, all the gear. So I get trying to make your kids what you want to be. But he was just built to be the super athlete, the super guy. I'm just saying above, he's Shuler. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's probably six.
Okay, I'm not arguing about the list. There's no doubt about it that he was a bust as well. I just say to myself, when man, he was getting popped for drugs before he even got into the league. It's a little bit different. Like we all want to push our kids to greatness. Some of us more than others, we put restrictions on our kids. You can't do this. You shouldn't do this. And then it's natural. The kid wants to just go explore. Well, I mean, you're telling a 10-year-old, hey, man, and then granted, you don't want to have it, then fine. Can't have an Oreo. Why can't I have an Oreo, Dad? Because you're going to be the best quarterback that the NFL has ever seen. You just got to go, what? Like, let the damn kid have a cookie.
I would say Nutter Butters are better, but okay, Oreos are good too.
I haven't had a Nutter Butter. And now go ahead, because I'm not a sugar person. Now you've opened this up. I like pastries from Germany. Help me out. And now people are going to be angry at me. What the hell? I know what a Nutter Butter is, but what is it? It's that peanut butter thing with the stuff in the middle, right?
Yes, but anything with peanut butter is great. My dad used to work for Reese's, and I'm telling you, anything with peanut butter.
Oh, okay, I get all of that. Describe a Nutter Butter. Tell me, what is a Nutter Butter?
It is two peanut butter wafers in between a peanut butter cream-filled goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. That's why I've never had one, because I looked at it and said, I'm not eating this. I'm not eating it.
You missed out.
Did I? Is it too late in life for me to have a Nutter Butter?
No, it's never too late. Peanut butter is good for all ages at any time of life.
I like Oreos. I haven't had an Oreo in, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 years. I haven't had an Oreo in forever.
Well, now they have peanut butter Oreos, so you can just have a peanut butter Oreo. So you like peanut butter now.
Oh, Dave. Oh, thanks, Dave. Thank you.
I'm a fat guy. I appreciate it.
Oh, listen, I eat like one, so that makes both of us. But thank you, Dave, for calling from PA. Hickey, you like Nutter Butters?
I do, and you know it's actually funny. We have them in a vending machine here. I've never seen them in years, but vending machine doesn't work.
Is it that vending machine right when you get off the elevator?
No, it is a vending machine in our break room is where it's located.
It doesn't work?
I tried to feed it a dollar the other day. It's like, oh my God, Nutter Butters, let me have one. It's been years.
It took your money?
No, did not. It was dead, deader than dead, where it wouldn't even take the dollar. That's what you know, it's bad.
What happens if you kick the vending machine in the break room at work? What happens?
Well, now that I'm talking about it on radio, I would say I would never do that.
Okay.
And if that ever happens, it would definitely would not be me.
All right, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Listen, I'm going to kick the vending machine here in Atlanta, and I'll tell you what happens. They'll yell at me and send me an email. But nothing bad will happen, so I'll look into it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break in a few minutes. There's some basketball going on as well, too. We're going to have a conversation with Jace Frederick, okay? Yesterday, we told you about Minnesota. We needed to talk to somebody who covers the Timberwolves on a full-time basis. I need to know what the hell is going on with this team as they take on the Suns, and especially their ownership situation. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Of course, we've done a lot of talk surrounding the NFL draft. Man, we're going to have 6 hours of draft talk for you tomorrow. 6+ hours. Damn it, all day is going to be draft talk. NBA playoffs are still going on. And if there's one matchup that's, I don't know if it's a surprise or not, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they were up 2-0 against the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, the young upstart team, Anthony Edwards, now leading the way, talking crap to old man Kevin Durant. Naz Reid, undrafted player, just won himself a Sixth Man of the Year award. Most people don't know who the hell he is. And things are looking on the up and up for the Wolves. Unless you want to look at their ownership situation. We'll get into that as well. Joining us right now on the line from the St. Paul Pioneer Press is Jace Frederick. Hey, Jace, how are you, man?
Hey, good, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on. Let me ask you this out the gate. Any surprise about what the Timberwolves have been able to do against this big three. But the big three, I guess they're old and they're not heavy enough, right? It's a top-heavy roster?
Yeah, I think the only surprise, like Minnesota doing this to a first-round opponent wouldn't stun me, because when this team has locked in defensively, like number one defense in the NBA, but when they have gotten up for games, like they defend at this level. This is what they've done. But just the fact that Phoenix all year had kind of had the solution, the code for Minnesota's defense, they'd really spread them out, put them in compromising positions, moved them around. Like Phoenix had scored better on Minnesota than anybody had all year. But Minnesota's kind of like they've made a few defensive adjustments in matchups, and now it's turned into a lot of isolation basketball for Phoenix, and Minnesota has three of the better one-on-one defenders in the NBA. So Phoenix is kind of playing right into Minnesota's hands, and you're just seeing it. Like the Wolves, when they can feed off their defense, they're a really, really, really good team.
And Jace Frederick is here with us, covers the Minnesota Timberwolves for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. You talk about Rudy Gobert. We also have Naz Reid, I just mentioned, the sixth man of the year. Last night, Jaden McDaniels had the game of his life, getting in front of everybody's face. People are just finding out about these players. Like in the case of Jaden McDaniels, why has he kind of gone under the radar? Same with Naz Reid.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is like with the Wolves, they've been kind of a fringe playoff team the last couple of years. And at that point, you know, you only really see them when they get in the playoffs. And like Jaden and Naz didn't play in the playoffs last year. Naz hurt his wrist with like maybe like 10 games to go in the regular season. Jaden McDaniels, game 82, he punched a wall in frustration and broke his hand, so he missed the playoffs. So like these are guys, when you finally see the Wolves, like they haven't had a ton of national TV games the last couple of years. And when they finally get to the playoffs and those guys are out, like they kind of miss their moment, those 15 minutes of fame for everybody to find out who they are. But now it's like front and center. It's obvious. It's right in front of your face. And Jaden McDaniels has been one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, but now you're seeing him do it to Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Brad Beal, and Naz Reid. It's all been about kind of opportunity for him. His role has grown each year as he's gotten better and better and better. So now, like, the Naz you're seeing now, it wasn't exactly the same player 2 years ago. But he's ascended to this point, and it's what's really kind of endeared him to the fan base, is that everybody's enjoyed his ascension so much. So, like, these are two guys who keep getting better and better, and now they're finally getting their playoff opportunity to shine, and they're taking full advantage.
Oh, well, Jace, everybody knows Rudy Gobert. He just was in that anonymous NBA player survey poll. He's called overrated. He's getting choked out by Draymond Green. He says he doesn't get respect because he's like the weird guy from France. Like, does this bother him, really? Does he let it brush off? Like, how does he feel about this, really?
I think it used to bother him more. I really do. I think, like, now, obviously, I didn't cover him a few years ago, but just the way he talks about it now, he just seems so much more at peace with it. Like, he said many times, like, alluded to, like, I'm confident in who I am now. Like, I'm comfortable with who I am as a player. My teammates know what I bring. I know what I bring. The fan base, the local fan base knows what I bring. So, like, if others don't get it, then that's kind of on them. Like, that's the way he talks now, and I truly do believe it. Like, I think that maybe 5 years ago that does impact him, but he is so secure and with who he is as a player now, and I think the respect that he feels from just teams around the league and, like, how they game plan, and he sees the way guys drive in and veer away rather than challenge him at the rim. So I think he now truly is, like, it doesn't bother him. I really think that he sees the awards pile up. He's going to win another Defensive Player of the Year award this year, almost certainly. Like, I think he feels kind of the respect he gets, even if, like, individual players maybe just know him as the guy who might airball one out of every 30 free throws, you know, and laugh. And, like, the post moves aren't always the prettiest, but, like, he just knows his value and what he brings. And I think he's more and more confident in that than ever before.
Jace Frederick covers the Minnesota Timberwolves. The T-Wolves right now have a 2-0 series lead against the Phoenix Suns, the star-studded Phoenix Suns, Durant, Booker, and Beal. Another star, an emerging star, making his mark is Anthony Edwards from right here in Georgia. I've spoken to Ant-Man way back from when he was even in high school. I guess it wasn't that way back. And you've had a chance to see him grow. How has he ascended? How is he different as a player? How is he different kind of behind the scenes as well, if at all? I know he's a little bit of a goofy kid.
Yeah, he still is that. Like, you can get him going on any topic, just, like, especially off the record, and just start BSing with him about it, and he'll just go on, and he's still just as funny in that respect. But I do think, like, he's taken his role more and more seriously, like, as the leader of this franchise. You know, he goes out of his way to constantly compliment teammates, call out various guys. Like, he might he on the court will say, like, hey, you got to do this and this. And then in the media, you know, the first thing he'll say is, well, great job by this guy. That's who won us the game tonight. Like, he's been the best maybe at, like, giving Karl-Anthony Towns credit whenever possible, knowing that Towns is often one of the more scrutinized players on the team. Like, he really has taken on a leadership role where, like, everybody kind of does look to him and respect him and really follow his lead. And I think that's how he's grown into it. And which at 22, for him to have such, like, a command of the locker room that even does have, like, Rudy Gobert is, like, 33, 34. Mike Conley's 36. And those guys are leaders as well. But, like, it's Anthony Edwards' locker room. And that's how I've seen him grow. And also the decision-making. Like, this is a guy who used to, well, even if he was doubled, he was still going to jack up a long jumper. And, like, last night when you see him, he gets two on the ball. He makes the right play. And it's boom, boom. And now it's an easy play for Jaden McDaniels. And that's how Jaden scores 25, because Phoenix is putting all of its attention on Anthony Edwards. And Edwards is making them pay by trusting his teammates. So, like, he really does evolve. He takes coaching so well. He really takes messages and implements them into the game. So, like, his maturity in really every aspect just continues to blossom every year.
Oh, Jace, you mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns. We know he was here before Anthony Edwards. This kind of had to have been a little, I don't want to say passing of the torch, but we know Anthony Edwards, he ain't going anywhere. And Karl-Anthony Towns, he's had to kind of move into that number two spot. How has he adjusted to his new role, or has injuries made it a little bit easier to move him out the way?
Yeah, injuries probably have made it a little bit easier, but I think in general, like, Carl has lost so much in his career and has always said, like, I'll do whatever it takes to win. So I think he's kind of seen, like, he experienced the posting a bunch of empty numbers and losing games and not getting any credit for it and almost being criticized for it. Like, oh, Karl-Anthony Towns, 32 and a loss, you know, to where now I think he's seen the full effect of, like, just how much more respect you get when you're part of a winning team. Like, his numbers were not as good this year, and yet he made an all-star team. So it kind of cements home the message, like, hey, if you win, we all eat. You know, like, and I think he's seeing that and he's embraced it. And, like, these games, I think he played 24 minutes or so last night. He didn't care. He was just beaming in the locker room talking about how he's embracing guarding whoever, whether that's Kevin Durant or whatever. And he's fine. You know, he laughed and called himself just a 3-and-D player out there. So, like, I think he really is just enjoying, like, winning and having a chance to finally win a playoff series for the first time in his career. So I think really kind of winning does smooth everything over, and I think as long as they are doing so at a high level, he's okay with whatever at this point.
Jace Frederick is here with us, covers the Timberwolves for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. We had this conversation last night on air. We know that the Minnesota Timberwolves, to resolve their ownership dispute between Glenn Taylor and Lori and Alex Rodriguez, that they're going into mediation and mm-hmm. arbitration. What's the latest? How could this end up? Is there still a pathway where A-Rod and Lori could become full owners of this team?
Yeah, I think there definitely is. I think it is a complicated one. Like, this mediation date, May 1st, that from everything I've kind of gathered, just seems like the ultimate formality just to get to arbitration. Like, I wouldn't expect hardly anything to come out of this mediation. And then they'll do the arbitration, and that'll probably take place over the summer. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that totally does come down to, like, an arbiter looking at the contract and just getting establishments of, like, was a payment made in time or whatever before the contract that final date came that would have triggered an extension. And Glenn Taylor saying no, and Lori and A-Rod are saying yes. And that should be pretty easy to kind of conclude once like the arbiter gets, like, the full, all the documents. And if it does come out in Lori and A-Rod's favor, what's interesting there is, like, okay, it would be ruled in their favor, but now the Board of Governors would still have to approve them, probably at, like, a September meeting or whatever. And now Glenn Taylor is so popular among all other NBA owners that there is a world, I think, where they could say, you know, we don't trust A-Rod and Lori's financials. We don't want you guys owning a team. And they can vote it down. It really can kind of all come down to that. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the legal part, I don't know, even if it does go Lori and A-Rod's direction, though, like, they still have another hurdle after that. So I wouldn't expect any real resolution on this anytime soon. Like I said, arbitration probably over the summer, and then the Board of Governors, I know, usually does meet in September, and that would fit that timeline. So I think we're still a ways out on this.
Jace, final question for you. Based on Alex Rodriguez, his own reputation, his life, his celebrity, his controversies, and his successes, how do the Twin Cities feel about Alex Rodriguez, who's sitting courtside, potentially being the face of the franchise from an ownership perspective?
Yeah, honestly, I think this is a really good situation for Alex Rodriguez to be in, because I think a lot of other places, they might look at it and say, like, I don't know, does he have money issues? Does he have the funding? Geez, did they dot all their I's and cross all their T's here? But Glenn Taylor is such an unpopular figure just because of all the struggles and poor decision-making that has happened with the Timberwolves under Glenn Taylor's watchful eye. Yeah, obviously the conflict with Kevin Garnett. People would so love for Kevin Garnett to be back in the arena, for his jersey to be in the Raptors, which KJ has basically said, I'm not doing any of that as long as Glenn Taylor's the owner. So, frankly, like, Wolves fans just want a transition. And I think if you asked everybody, like, hey, would you like a different owner with less conflict here and just a smoother transition? They might all say yes, but if they're just picking between Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry or Glenn Taylor, the definitely, like, in the public, the winner right now would be the Lowry and A-Rod side.
Oh, wow. How about that? I certainly know that, and listen, Glenn Taylor's painting it as, hey, they don't got the money, I'm trying to save you. So they may trade the whole team. So I guess we'll see what's going to happen, Jace. Maybe they should go to the People's Court. Does that still come on TV?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be an interesting case. I bet ratings would be high.
Yeah, it would. Better than anything Caitlin Clark has done. Hey, Jace, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you in your work with the Pioneer Press?
Yeah, TwinCities.com is where you can find all of our Timberwolves coverage. I post everything on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Jace Frederick. So any of those spots, and you will find everything Timberwolves we've got coming out, which is quite a bit this time of year.
Can't wait to see what the Wolves do throughout the rest of this series and potentially throughout the rest of the playoffs. Hey, Jace, enjoy the ride, okay?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, that's the solution. Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lowry need to settle this once and for all. Ownership of the Wolves with Glenn Taylor on the People's Court. I'd love that. Maybe Judge Judy. Hey, Marco, does she quit or she's still going?
Judge Judy?
Yeah.
You think too highly of me, JR. I have no idea. I don't know that one.
Hickey, is Judge Judy still on TV or is she done?
I want to say yes, just because if she was done, I feel like we would hear about it. Like, there'd be some sort of ceremony, right?
There's like 20...
Ceremony?
Yeah, Judge Judy. She's been on TV for what?
It's a ceremony. You passed the gavel. Yes.
Is this like the Olympics where they light the torch? Is that the ceremony?
You think in your prime time, like, this is Judge Judy's last show. You think you'd hear about it. Maybe bring back some of the best, like, you know, old...
criminals?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to find a word there,
small
too.
Claim. It's small.
To describe the people, the delinquents that would come in there?
Delinquents, because it's small claims court. None of these people are criminals. Well, some of them could be criminals, but I thought they argued over $3,000, and that's small claims, right?
Petty cash in some people's spaces.
Yeah, this guy crashed I got a new fender. This person messed up my fence. They didn't return my utensils, my lawnmower.
The dog then bit me.
Yeah, and then she cursed him out. Yeah.
So to answer, yes, I think she's still around because, I mean, it's Judge Judy. She's not just going to just...
Look. If Alex Rodriguez is going to lie to Katie Couric on national television, I need to see him in front of Judge Judy. It'll never happen, but I'd love for it to. I'll need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to look into what the hell is going on with Judge Judy. Is she retired like Oprah? Or she's still pushing out shows in the middle of the day, punishing delinquents. We'll figure that out, and then we'll also tell you about a few things that have taken place this day in sports history.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. It's been a busy show. We talked about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back after all these stupid politics over the past, feels like 15 plus years, almost 20 years of nonsense since he went to damn college. We talked about Justin Fields, no extension for him. A few minutes ago, how about this? Congratulations to the Miami Heat. They just beat the Celtics 111-101. Porzingis could not hit the ocean with a rock if he wanted to tonight. 6 points, 1 of 9 shooting. We got another game that's underway. The Pelicans and Thunder just getting going. The Pelicans trying to tie up the series 1-1. The Heat just tied up their series with the Celtics with no Jimmy Butler. And then, of course, I gave you a new top six list. We talked about the biggest quarterback busts in NFL history. I had Jamarcus Russell number one on the list. And then, of course, tomorrow, the NFL draft is going to take place live from Detroit, Michigan. And we talked about a lot of quarterbacks who are going to be drafted. We got coverage for the entire first round here on the Infinity Sports Network. Myself and Bart Winkler are going to hold it down. And then myself and Hickey, we will be here starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And so, yeah, there's going to be 6 hours of the JR Sport Brief here and Hickey here. And then myself and then also Mr. Winkler will be holding it down for the first round. All the picks, all the analysis, you don't have to go anywhere. 855-212-4227 is the number. It's 855-212-4227. It is the end of the show, and that means one thing before I get to your calls. It's time for This Day in Sports History.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Yeah, let's go back to the year 2004. No ass kissings there. But one guy trying to avoid a particular team, Eli Manning, said, I don't want to go to the Chargers. Well, the Chargers selected Eli Manning number one overall this day, April 24th in 2004. And then, of course, he got traded to the Giants. Congratulations. He helped them win two championships, and he's probably going to go into the Hall of Fame. If you ever wanted to know why Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers, well, let's listen to him before the 2004 draft as he spoke to ESPN.
You know, we're not really giving details right now. We just, we've made our decision, and that's what we're sticking to.
Who's influenced you the most?
You know, just, it's not really an influence. This is my decision. It was, you know, I wanted to do this. I was not, you know, told to do this. We talked about it, and I thought it was the best idea, so I went with it.
Yeah, his dad and his brother said, don't go there. The Giants, bruh. And it worked out for him. What happened with Mr. Rivers? A lot of great numbers, no championship, right? He should have kept Drew Brees. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Something else that happened this day, April 24th. Let's go back to 1994. David Robinson ends up winning the scoring title in the NBA. How did he do so? He dropped 71 points. He edged out Shaquille O'Neal by percentage points to walk away as a scoring champ. 71 points. Listen to David Robinson as he drops 71.
48 seconds left. They want David again. The crowd wants David to score again. Here is Nigel Knight on the dribble. Throws it up to Rodman. Dennis holds it out. Starts the drive. Give it to David. Grabbed by Ellis. Double teamed by Wood. Takes the jumper. Yes! 71 for David Robinson.
David Robinson finished with 71 points. The Spurs beat the Clippers 112 to 97. David Robinson, 29.8 points per game to Shaq's 29.3. Yes, 5/10. That's deciding, or that decided, who won the scoring title. David Robinson only needed 33 points. He ended up dropping 71 to close out the season. And then he ran into some guy named Hakeem Olajuwon in the postseason. And Hakeem said, I'm a whoop your ass. And he did, on his way to a championship where they beat the New York Knicks. Let me get some numbers in. Let's get some calls in before I roll out. 855-212-4227. Hey, we're out of time, folks. Let's go ahead. Give me 15 seconds, James from Minnesota. Go ahead.
15 seconds. James got something real quick to say in Minnesota. Yeah, David Robinson, so was Admiral. But he needed Tim Duncan. You remember, he needed Tim Duncan to win those championships. Without the Admiral and Tim Duncan, they wouldn't have had it like that. Let me tell you, brother, it's like this. You know, there's a Heisman Trophy winner out there, and I'm glad he got his Heisman back, because O.J. Simpson had a fight for his. And now he's gone. Rest in peace, O.J. Simpson.
Okay. Thank you, James. Hey, was that Macho Man Randy Savage, Hickey? Is that Macho Man?
Poor imitation of it.
Yeah, he said, rest in peace to O.J. What the hell is that guy's problem? O.J. had to fight for his. O.J. went to prison. Sorju's here from Massachusetts. Sorju, go ahead quickly.
JR, how are we?
We're running out of time. Go ahead.
Really quick, not too concerned about the Celtics. I don't like that we lost at home again. I think that we'll take care of the Heat in five, but We really need to close out on these shooters. 22 threes from this Heat team is unacceptable. Love you, JR. Love you, Hickey. Peace.
Oh, thank you so much. See, that was an excellent call. Unlike that macho man out, let me be careful. That was Hickey, I almost said something that wasn't nice.
Way to catch yourself. Very mature of you.
Almost said something that was that imitation macho man. Thank you, Soju. Didn't think that O.J. Simpson would be a topic of conversation or even brought up tonight, but there he was. So there you have it. Listen, folks, the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. You want to know something? It's over. It's done. If you missed a minute or a second, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I will be back with you. Hickey will be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We will be here before the draft, and at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, myself, Bart Winkler, will be holding it down for you for the entire first round. We got all the analysis and the breakdowns and it all. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. The show is done. I'll be back with you tomorrow for 6 hours. It's a mini marathon, right? Yeah, don't worry about anything. I'm done here for now, but don't worry. Even coming up next is Bart Winkler. Thank you so much to Ryan Hickey. Thank you to you for listening. Y'all be safe, be well, be cool, be smooth. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. It's been a busy show. We talked about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back after all these stupid politics over the past, feels like 15 plus years, almost 20 years of nonsense since he went to damn college. We talked about Justin Fields, no extension for him. A few minutes ago, how about this? Congratulations to the Miami Heat. They just beat the Celtics 111-101. Porzingis could not hit the ocean with a rock if he wanted to tonight. 6 points, 1 of 9 shooting. We got another game that's underway. The Pelicans and Thunder just getting going. The Pelicans trying to tie up the series 1-1. The Heat just tied up their series with the Celtics with no Jimmy Butler. And then, of course, I gave you a new top six list. We talked about the biggest quarterback busts in NFL history. I had Jamarcus Russell number one on the list. And then, of course, tomorrow, the NFL draft is going to take place live from Detroit, Michigan. And we talked about a lot of quarterbacks who are going to be drafted. We got coverage for the entire first round here on the Infinity Sports Network. Myself and Bart Winkler are going to hold it down. And then myself and Hickey, we will be here starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And so, yeah, there's going to be 6 hours of the JR Sport Brief here and Hickey here. And then myself and then also Mr. Winkler will be holding it down for the first round. All the picks, all the analysis, you don't have to go anywhere. 855-212-4227 is the number. It's 855-212-4227. It is the end of the show, and that means one thing before I get to your calls. It's time for This Day in Sports History.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Yeah, let's go back to the year 2004. No ass kissings there. But one guy trying to avoid a particular team, Eli Manning, said, I don't want to go to the Chargers. Well, the Chargers selected Eli Manning number one overall this day, April 24th in 2004. And then, of course, he got traded to the Giants. Congratulations. He helped them win 2 championships, and he's probably going to go into the Hall of Fame. If you ever wanted to know why Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers, well, let's listen to him before the 2004 draft as he spoke to ESPN.
You know, we're not really giving details right now. We just, we've made our decision and that's what we're sticking to.
Who's influenced you the most?
You know, just, it's not really an influence. This is my decision. It was, I wanted to do this. I was not, you know, told to do this. We talked about it and I thought it was the best idea, so I went with it.
Yeah, his dad and his brother said, don't go there. The Giants, bruh. And it worked out for him. What happened with Mr. Rivers? A lot of great numbers, no championship, right? Should have kept Drew Brees. Anyway, Let's keep it moving. Something else that happened this day, April 24th. Let's go back to 1994. David Robinson ends up winning the scoring title in the NBA. How did he do so? He dropped 71 points. He edged out Shaquille O'Neal by percentage points to walk away as a scoring champ. 71 points. Listen to David Robinson as he drops 71.
48 seconds left. They want David again. The crowd wants David to score again. Here is Nigel Knight on the dribble. Throws it up to Rodman. Dennis holds it out. Starts the drive. Give it to David. Grabbed by Ellis. Double teamed by Wood. Takes the jumper. Yes! 71 for David Robinson.
And David Robinson finished with 71 points. The Spurs beat the Clippers 112 to 97. David Robinson, 29.8 points per game to Shaq's 29.3. Yes, 0.5. That's deciding, or that decided, who won the scoring title. David Robinson only needed 33 points. He ended up dropping 71 to close out the season. And then he ran into some guy named Hakeem Olajuwon in the postseason, and Hakeem said, "I'm a whoop your ass," and he did, on his way to a championship where they beat the New York Knicks. Let me get some numbers in. Let's get some calls in before I roll out. 855-212-4227. Hey, we're out of time, folks. Let's go ahead. Give me 15 seconds, James from Minnesota. Go ahead.
15 seconds. James got something real quick to say in Minnesota. Yeah, David Robinson, so was the Admiral. But he needed Tim Duncan. You remember? He needed Tim Duncan to win those championships. Without the Admiral and Tim Duncan, they wouldn't have had it like that. Let me tell you, brother, it's like this. You know, there's a Heisman Trophy winner out there, and I'm glad he got his Heisman back because O.J. Simpson had a fight for his. And now he's gone. Rest in peace, O.J. Simpson.
Okay. Thank you, James. Hey, was that Macho Man Randy Savage, Hickey? Is that Macho Man?
Poor imitation of it.
Yeah, he said rest in peace to O.J. What the hell is that guy's problem? O.J. had to fight for his. O.J. went to prison. Sword Juice here from Massachusetts. Sword Juice, go ahead quickly.
JR, how are we?
We're running out of time. Go ahead.
Really quick, not too concerned about the Celtics. I don't like that we lost at home again. I think that we'll take care of the Heat in five, but we really need to close out on these shooters. 22 threes from this Heat team. It's unacceptable. Love you, JR. Love you, Hickey. Peace.
Oh, thank you so much. See, that was an excellent call. Unlike that Macho Man out, let me be careful. That was Hickey, I almost said something that wasn't nice.
Way to catch yourself. Very mature of you.
Almost said something that was that imitation Macho Man. Thank you, Sorju. Didn't think that O.J. Simpson would be a topic of conversation or even brought up tonight, but there he was. So there you have it. Listen, folks, the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. You want to know something? It's over. It's done. If you missed a minute or a second, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I will be back with you. Hickey will be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We will be here before the draft, and at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, myself, Bart Winkler, will be holding it down for you for the entire first round. We got all the analysis and the breakdowns and it all. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. The show is done. I'll be back with you tomorrow for 6 hours. It's a mini marathon, right? Yeah, don't worry about anything. I'm done here for now, but don't worry. Even coming up next is Bart Winkler. Thank you so much to Ryan Hickey. Thank you to you for listening. Y'all be safe, be well, be cool, be smooth. See you tomorrow.